But,
oh, and I'm sorry. It's also mentioned that it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We finally get... because I don't think it's said in any other movie.
No, apart from, like, maybe the first one.
Is it? Like, yeah. I don't even know if it's referenced in the first one, but, it, like, yeah.
But yeah, Rick's like, heck of a day for it being, looks at camera, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
Go to hell and take your friends with you!
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Get off my plane.
Hello, welcome back to Movies to Drink To. Again, we are looking at Friday the 13th, this time part 6.
Yes.
Yes. Jason lives. I'm alive!
Jason, after not appearing in the last film.
Yeah.
Technically.
Oof. Yeah, so he's come back. Or has he? So Friday the 13th, part 6, from 1986, directed by Tom McLoughlin. I think it's pronounced Lolan. Whatever. It stars...
McLoughlin.
McLoughlin?
It's one of them.
It's one of them.
Pick which one you feel fits yes. best.
It stars Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Both better films than this. Jennifer Cook, David Keegan, Kerry Noonan, Renee Jones, Tom Fridley, Darcy DeMoss, and CJ Graham as Jason. The plot of this one beeth...
Tommy Jarvis exhumes Jason Voorhees to cremate his corpse, but inadvertently brings him back to life instead. The newly revived killer seeks revenge, and Tommy may be the only one who can stop him.
Isn't that... No, it's not the plot of the last one, because the last one wasn't even Jason. It was Roy. Yeah. Roy Burns. Yeah, the infamous Roy Burns. Anyway, our story begins with a thunderstorm, which is usually how these films end.
Yeah.
But we're starting with one.
Flipped it on its head.
Yeah. And there's mist rolling over the general vicinity of, I guess, Camp Crystal Lake. It's a spooky night, basically. Mm. And then we have Tommy from the last movie, but a different actor.
Yeah.
A better actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's actually, I do like Tom Matthews.
Yeah, he's the Tommy that appears in the Friday the 13th game.
Yeah, he
when
is,
you call
yeah.
up Tommy, he's and the he's, one who shows up.
He's very entertaining in both the Return of the Living Dead movies. So he's driving along and he's got some friend with him, and they've also got Jason's mask with them. Or Roy's mask. Yeah, because in the last movie it was definitely Roy.
Yeah.
And didn't the last movie end with Tommy wearing the mask and killing that woman?
Yeah, he just comes up behind her with the knife.
Which was definitely Roy's mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Roy's mask.
Yeah, it's Roy's mask.
Okay. They've escaped from the local nut house, and Tommy is setting out to destroy Jason's corpse for some reason. Also, I'm pretty sure in the last film they established that Jason was cremated.
They said that several times.
Yeah.
Like...
there is no body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There is... there's kind of a plot hole. I don't know if it, like...
Sure, there's many.
Yeah. I'll explain it at the end.
Okay. They arrive at the graveyard with their shovels and their lanterns and Jason's mask. And after not long, they find the grave of Jason Voorhees. At least that's what it says. So anyway, Tommy and his little friend start digging him up. 4 hours later, they reach the coffin and open it up. And inside is the rotting corpse of Jason Voorhees, covered in worms and maggots. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's proper rot job.
It's gross.
Yeah. Tommy then starts hearing his own voice from when he was a child in his head saying, "Die! Die!" Kind of like in the last movie.
Yeah.
Luckily, this is the only time they do it in this film. Because in the last one, they kept having that stupid flashback thing.
I wonder if Corey Feldman got royalties from that.
I would like to think so.
Yeah.
Tommy then rips one of the bars off the gate of the cemetery.
Just
very
like
easily.
Yeah, like
my
it's
ass.
Paper. It's like...
here we go. Yeah,
like it's been Legoed together.
Tommy is strong as fuck. And then he decides to start stabbing Jason's corpse with it. He then leaves the massive metal pole sticking out of Jason's corpse. Remember, there's thunder and lightning going. Can you see where this is going?
Yeah.
Tommy then throws Jason's mask in the grave with him, and he's just getting some of the gasoline ready to pour over the corpse when lightning strikes the gate pole sticking out of Jason's grave. It basically does a Frankenstein.
Yeah. Like, it's been scientifically proven many times that lightning can revive dead people.
Yeah. Mm. That's why there's, like, you know, all graveyards are undercover.
Yeah. All metal is removed from anywhere near it.
That's why they buried him under the ground deep enough so that the lightning can't... Yeah.
You know, so somebody you love dies, just basically just chuck them in the bath, throw a toaster in,
back
to life.
They'll be like brain dead. They're
completely they've seen things.
Yeah. It's like coming back from Event Horizon.
Never quite the same. Eating rats and stuff. Pet cemetery.
Sometimes it's better off dead.
Yeah.
Tommy then climbs in Jason's grave and removes the pole for some reason. And he's getting back out. As he's getting back out, a now reanimated Jason jumps up and grabs him. Tommy grabs the gasoline and zombie Jason heads towards him and he starts throwing it over Jason. Then, as he lights a match, it starts raining at that exact moment and it puts the match out. Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Tommy's friend, whose name is Hawes, by the way, not that it matters, he's about to die, runs up behind Jason and breaks a shovel over his head. Jason turns around and puts his fist through Hawes, ripping his heart out, who then lands in Jason's grave and the lid closes in on him. I thought it was quite funny, actually.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that bit, I'm not going to lie. At that point, I was like, ooh.
Maybe this won't be
terrible.
Maybe
this is good.
Yeah. Then Tommy, our hero and the only man to ever successfully kill Jason, runs away.
Successfully?
Run away!
Yeah, he legs it. But then, I mean, I don't blame him entirely. Like, he's just punched a hole through his mate.
I tried to do something. It didn't work out. I'm off. Yeah.
This is somebody else's problem now.
Mm-hmm. Jason then puts his iconic hockey mask back on. I'm alive!
Yeah.
Like the title says. Then we get this, like, weird James Bond thing.
I love this.
It's the camera zooms in on Jason's eye, and it becomes like a... dun, 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 dun. And these are the opening credits.
I thoroughly enjoyed that bit. It's so weird.
So after the opening credits, we then have Jason walking through the woods, carrying his massive metal pole that brought him back to life. It's my good luck charm. Tommy has driven off to the police station. He bursts into the police station to find a single cop who's asleep at his desk. And he pulls a gun on Tommy. And he threatens to shoot him. Because this is America, goddammit.
Yeah, shoot first, find out what the problem is later.
Yes. The cop doesn't believe Tommy when he tells him about bringing Jason back to life. Then another cop arrives, Officer Rick. Anyway, they lock Tommy up. He's not been charged with anything, but he's been detained in a police cell. And also, by the way, this place is now called Forest Green. They changed
the
name.
Yeah, they've had a whole rebrand.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You'd think, like, sheriffs would have learned something by now, like, as well. Like, if somebody comes running in, like...
I need help. Yeah. Bang! Fuck off!
Yeah.
I'm on my donut break.
You crazy kids! Just maybe... take a second to have a look into it first.
Also, when I say they've detained him in a police cell, it's not like another wing of the building and he's in the cells. The police cell is in the same room.
It's like a Wild West, sheriff's.
Yeah, they've got a desk, some chairs, some filing cabinets, and a big holding cell in the corner. Yeah. Back out in the wilderness, we have a couple, Darren and Elizabeth, driving along, and they're lost. When suddenly, Elizabeth slams on the brakes because she's standing right in front of her car is Jason, still holding his massive pole.
Darren is Tony Goldwyn, who is the bad guy in Ghost.
I've never seen Ghost.
Have you not?
No.
Yeah, it's him.
Wait, there's a bad guy in Ghost?
Yeah, he's like...
The Patrick Swayze film.
Patrick Swayze film.
Oh, I don't know. How's there a bad guy? Does he kill him?
He's like... I think so. I think
he's the reason he's a ghost?
Yeah, I think he's the one that killed him or something.
Wow.
Something along those lines. But Tony Goldwyn, he was like in a bunch of like 80s movies where he played like a smarmy sort of villain.
Oh, how about that? Mm. Also, they've got a Ted Bundy car. So fuck them. Yeah. We know someone who's got a Ted Bundy car. It's got a Ted Bundy car. Yeah.
The woman is Tom McLaughlin's wife.
Ah, nice. So anyway, Jason stood in front of them. So she goes to reverse, but they get stuck in the mud they just drove over with no issues.
Yeah.
Darren then says, we can't go back any further or we'll get stuck. And Elizabeth says, do you have a better suggestion? Like, yes, run him over. Or go round.
Yeah.
It's a fairly big road, just one guy. Yeah.
Darren... they proceed to try and run him over as slow as possible. Yeah.
Darren does actually suggest, let's just drive towards him and he'll move. Mm. So they drive towards him. Jason does not move. And he plunges his big pole into the car's wheel arch.
Yep.
Darren decides he's had enough. And lucky for him, he lives in the freest country in the world, so he's got a gun. He pulls a gun from the glove compartment.
It's a tiny gun.
Yes.
It's like, back off, like this tiny little toy gun,
like something you keep in, like, was it women would keep in their leg holster. He points the gun at Jason and threatens him. Clearly Darren has never seen a Friday the 13th movie. He even fires off a shot at Jason. Naturally this does nothing to him, and so Jason impales him on his big old pole, his new favorite weapon essentially, and he flings him over his shoulder. Elizabeth then tries to escape rather pathetically. She's falling all over the place.
Yeah. She's got the vapors. She's forgotten how her legs work.
Yeah, all of a sudden. And then she tries to offer Jason money. I love that. Yeah. Does this look like a guy who cares about money? He then disappears before reappearing behind her and stabbing her in the head.
Yeah. Drowns her in a puddle.
Yes.
Like, and there's a bit of product placement there, like the American Express card floats across the puddle.
Don't leave home without it.
The level of acting in this as well, like throughout the whole point from the minute they see Jason... like, Jason's like this hulking figure. He's got a big pole, like, mask on and everything else. And they act as if it's like a weird inconvenience rather than the fact that, like, this guy is actually going to murder them. They're like, well, what should we do?
He's,
well, I don't know.
Clearly insane.
Yeah, he's clearly mental.
Yeah.
Like, and it's the whole of the... there's never... it's more annoyance than fear.
Yeah, like, oh, come on.
just drive out.
There are always weirdos out in the woods.
Yeah. The speed they drive at him towards, even if they'd hit him, they probably would have barely bruised him.
The next morning, back over at the police station, and we meet Megan, who is the daughter of the shit bag cop from last night, who's still there, by the way. He doesn't
go home.
There's no
shifts.
He just lives there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Megan and her friends are trying to convince Deputy Dad to go looking for their friends who are missing, their friends being Darren and Elizabeth.
Yeah. Mm.
Elizabeth's sister is one of the gang, and it turns out that Darren and Elizabeth are the head counselors of the nearby camp, and all the kids are arriving today, and none of this lot know what to do.
Yeah, there's been no training whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to, like, which seems a bit off.
Yeah.
Like, you should, like, if you're going to, you don't just turn up the same day as the kid, surely. Like, if you're going to be in charge of that amount of children.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of training.
I'd be like, yeah, we'll figure it out as we go along.
Maybe they just send them a manual beforehand.
it seems wrong.
Tommy then chirps up from his cell and says he thinks he knows what's happened to them, what with Jason being back and all. Megan is intrigued, but Deputy Dad tells her to stay away because he's clearly mental, but she clearly wants some of the Tommy Jarvis action.
Yeah, I know. She's instantly in love with him.
Oh, even though, like, he's clearly mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I say in love. She's like, this is a Friday the 13th film, so she's just a horny teenager,
basically.
She's like, look at that. Give me the cock.
Megan and her friends leave, and Deputy Dad has decided to remove Tommy from the area. This is a thing that goes on for, like, a while in this film.
Yeah.
Their plan is to take Tommy and just kick him out of town.
Yeah, out of their jurisdiction.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, that's the whole plan, right? We then cut over to the cemetery, and there's an old drunk caretaker who's discovered Jason's dug-up grave, and through fear of losing his job, doesn't tell anyone, and he fills it back in with Hawes's body in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also does this weird fourth wall break, where, like, he's chatting about, like, why people... digging up Jason Voorhees, and he looks right at the camera and goes, some folks have a strange idea of entertainment.
Yes, hilarious. We then get a shot of Jason just strolling through the woods.
Yeah, just going for a...
in the day.
Yeah, in the middle of the day.
I was strolling through the woods one day.
Just whistling, all the birds are landing on him. Yeah. And stuff. He's spinning
it's
around.
Like, you know what? It's actually pretty nice around here.
Yeah.
Come to appreciate the beauty of nature. Now I see it in the daylight. Now we head over to the summer camp. Megan and her friends are unloading a bunch of supplies from the car, and they debate whether Jason was real or just some legend their parents told them about. And then the children arrive. None of the counselors seem happy about this at all.
No, they're pretty miserable about it. There's also a weird point, like, because all the counselors are talking, and they all move inside, right? And they're all talking in that sort of kitchen area. And then the bus turns up, and they're looking out the window, and all the kids come off the bus. And then this woman leans off the bus, and she goes, "Here they are. They're all yours now. Like, they're your problem now."
Yeah.
Who's she talking to? They're all indoors.
Just anyone that will listen.
Yeah, she's
your
like,
problem
oh,
now.
Get
them off.
Doesn't even check that there's an adult to collect them. She's like, your problem now. Look, yeah. There's no one there.
Could be anywhere in the woods.
Yeah. It's so
is
odd.
This even the camp? I don't care. Get off. Also, when they're talking about, like, you know, is Jason real? Is it just a legend that our parents told us? Like, I mean, just last year.
Yeah.
Just 2 years ago.
There was a copycat.
This whole thing only started 6 years ago.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not been... Yeah, how young were your parents when they had
what
you?
The hell? We then cut over to the woods and we meet some wannabe army guys playing paintball. You know the type? You know the type.
It seems to be like at least like a business retreat or something. Yeah. Like you get the
corporate getaway.
Yeah, that's it.
And Jason is watching them. How they don't spot him, I'm not sure.
He's just there. Right there. In plain sight.
Yeah, it's daylight as well.
Yeah.
It's just daylight. Hey, guys. Guys. Hey, hello. Hello.
Just wants to play paintball.
Am I still dead?
Am I invisible? I can't even do the accent. Am I invisible here?
So you got two guys walking around chatting about war. Mm. And not that they've ever been in a war.
Well, one chatting about war, the other one's on about a sandwich.
Yeah, and basically talking about how manly they are. And then suddenly they get paintballed by a woman who's also playing. We've also got Bert, one of the paintball gang, and he's kind of mental and also happens to have a machete with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
For a paintball.
Yes.
He's there.
Like, God damn it, Bert.
He's like hacking away at a tree and just spouting misogyny all over the place. Because as far as I can work out, it seems to be all the men against this one woman.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's like what the teams are, but this woman is basically paintballed them all.
Yeah, everyone.
And this Bert guy is really pissed off about that. He's got very Andrew Tate vibes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
He's seething.
Yeah. He's taking out his frustration on some branches with his machete, and then Jason appears behind him and he kills him in hilarious fashion. He throws him against a tree, ripping off his arm in the process, and as his face smashes into the tree, it leaves a smiley face dent in the trunk. And Jason now has a machete.
Yeah, it just with the severed arm still attached to it that he just looks at quite quizzically. He does it's Michael Myers that normally does that, isn't it, with the head
little
tilt.
Head tilt.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tommy is driving away with the police escorting him in their own vehicle. Remember, they're taking him out of town. Anyway, we cut back to the paintball game and we've got the nerd one of the group who's called Roy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he falls over and he drops his paintball gun because he's a nerd. He also drops his gun so hard that he loses it.
Yeah.
Like, he just stumbles over.
Yeah,
it's gone. It's
gone. Completely gone.
Yeah. Anyway, he then finds it. And back with the woman paintballer and the two guys that she's just shot, they hear a noise. And suddenly, Jason drops down from a tree and cuts all three of their heads off in one swipe with his machete.
This is the first of several... surprise, motherfucker! moments from Jason.
Yeah.
He just leaps from a tree. He's like, psh. Yeah, with one swoop, takes all three heads off.
Yeah. It's not even a... Yeah. Unless they were literally group hugging.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that could happen.
Yeah.
And are they all the same height? Standing?
Yeah, it's absurd.
This leaving just Roy, who shoots Jason with his paintball gun, and then he runs away for ages until the film just kind of gives up and it cuts back to Tommy driving along.
Yeah.
Whatever actually happens to him, do we see him die? I don't think we do. Or just see his body later?
It's the first time I've noticed in my notes that you don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't believe we actually see him die. His body might appear later, but yeah.
Yeah, no, nothing.
So we cut back to Tommy driving along, who decides to take a detour and turns toward the cemetery. The police follow. He arrives in the cemetery and the police give chase on foot and tackle Tommy. Oh, and Rick, Officer Rick, he pulls out his revolver, which has a massive laser scope on top of it.
Wildly unnecessary.
It's like the size of a tin of beans.
Yeah.
Strapped to the top of his gun, just so he can point a laser.
His gun that four times heavier
than
it needs
to be.
Yeah, and
the accuracy is way off
now. Yeah, completely. that laser sighting's nonsense.
So stupid. Martin, the drunk, the caretaker, he arrives and he refuses to dig up Jason's grave. And then Tommy is carted off again.
Yeah.
Oh, once again. Back over at the summer camp, Megan is trying to rile up the kids, the girls anyway, and get them all excited about camp.
Just yelling at them.
Yeah.
Just weird shit.
Yeah.
Like completely disjointed nonsense.
Yeah. Who wants coffee?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Court, the guy counselor, he's teaching the boys about Boy Scout stuff. Court doesn't know anything about anything.
No.
He's an idiot.
No, yeah, he's a complete moron.
Yeah, this is how you start a fire, and this is what Indians used to do.
Yeah, it's something about, like, Indian markers. Like, he's just piling rocks on top of each other and then babbling about if Indians are having an affair.
Yeah, and the little kids are just, like, rolling their eyes at him. Yeah, like, this guy's a moron. Anyway, back with Jason strolling through the woods, and nothing happens.
Yep.
Yep. Cut back to Tommy, who's essentially being kicked out of town. The cops literally drive him to a sign that says leaving Forest Green and just kind of push him over the county line. And don't you come back!
Sign that just says out of town.
Yeah.
They're like, that sign's a big line on the road. This is you.
Why didn't they just take him back to the hospital?
Well, yeah, I
don't know. He's come from a mental institution, isn't
he? Yeah, and they seem
surely
to know
the responsible
that as well.
Thing. Deputy, is take him back to the institution he's come from.
Yeah, you know, just, where he murdered that woman.
Yeah, like a safe place.
But yeah.
Here you go, they've just freed him.
Yeah, that does seem irresponsible at best.
Later on, at night, Martin the drunk caretaker is drunk and singing to himself while strolling through the woods.
Honestly, he's the best actor in this.
Yeah, he plays a good drunk.
Yeah, he's a great drunk.
Yeah. We have a couple out in the woods at night enjoying some champagne.
Yeah, this is only a thing that happens in horror movies. Who the fuck goes out in the middle of the night to have a picnic?
Yeah, it's like, never
ever has anyone ever done that.
Stephen, the guy he's just proposed. The person he just proposed to, his partner, she wants to bang, and Stephen acts for all of 5 seconds like he doesn't want to bang.
Yeah.
Appreciate the effort.
He does reverse psychology on her, because I can't believe I was going to bring you up here just to bang, and she's like, well, maybe we should. He's like, yeah, maybe.
Well, all right. Yeah. Martin the drunk, meanwhile, he's lost the road he was walking on.
Yeah.
Which is quite a funny line. Where's the road gone? As Martin finishes his bottle of what I assume is whiskey, he kisses it goodbye and he throws it over his head, but he doesn't hear it land.
Yeah.
This is because Jason has caught it. He's behind him. He breaks the bottle and he stabs Martin with it.
Jason's, he loves those woods. And there's nothing he hates more than littering.
Good point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Littering and people banging. Jason's two biggest pet peeves.
Does this look like a motel room to you?
Yeah, exactly. He's just been feeding the rabbits and stuff like in the forest, and now Martin is fucking lobbing
a raccoon
around.
Could step on this.
Yeah, exactly. Like a skunk could get caught in it, and like its head would be.
Stephen and his now fiance, they hear Martin scream, and Stephen goes to investigate, only to find Jason hacking up Martin's body with his machete.
Yeah.
Stephen runs back to get Annette. Annette is the name of his fiance, by the way.
not
an actual net.
It's done got my trusty Jason net.
Her name is Annette. And they run off together, or try to. They jump on Stephen's motorbike and then get like double impaled.
Yeah.
He impales both of them like a kebab.
Yeah. What does he... Is that the metal pole from the graveyard again?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, this might be a bit of a sketchy episode. I watched this in three parts over about 2 weeks. So
I watched half of it 1 week and then half of it yesterday. So.
And then we just get a little establishing shot over at the camp at night and all the little kids, they're asleep. Okay. Mm. Sissy, by the way, with all these characters in all these films, we slowly find out the characters' names throughout as we go on. Sissy is one of the counselors who's playing cards with Elizabeth's sister, who we later find out is called Paula. So we've got Megan, deputy dad's daughter, and then we've got Sissy, a counselor, Court, the male counselor, and then Elizabeth's sister, Paula. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, Sissy wants to play a card game called Camp Blood, which you just know that some diehard Friday the 13th fans play.
Oh, yeah, they, absolutely. Yeah. She even kind of, it's the simplest card game in the world.
Starts explaining the rules.
Yeah, you just like kind of put, you pick one card that's Jason.
Yeah.
Or saying, and then you shuffle him up and then you separate them also their cabins. And the idea is to find, I don't know what the game is in that. Like, you just constantly pick cards till you find Jason. Then
and
what
then
happens?
Then you're dead? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess.
Fuck knows.
Then suddenly, we hear one of the kids screams. And they run off to the girls' cabins. And one of the girls is like, I saw a monster!
Yeah.
But they just put it down to having a bad dream.
Well, of course.
Yeah, as you would. Yeah.
You would. Like, I mean, yeah, she's a child.
Anyway, over in a camper van, Court is getting laid with Nikki.
Well, he's disco banging.
Yeah.
Like, they're going at it to a song.
Yeah. She's on top. She's like, yeah. And she insists that he lasts until the song finishes.
Yeah, she...
Yeah.
I mean, I would have...
Like, banging to music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have made it first, the intro.
But when Jason sees that van a-rockin', he comes a-knockin'.
Yes.
So he pulls the power this van is hooked up to. Totally killing the mood in there, by the way.
Yeah, ruining music, everything. Yeah. Although Court's done now, so it's all right.
Yeah, true. And then Court sort of goes out to investigate. And then we've got Court and Nikki, and they establish that somebody's out there. They get back in the RV. And drive away. And Court is having more fun driving than anyone has ever had in the history of driving.
It's so weird. Like, he keeps saying, was it her?
How great it is and fun it is to
this
drive.
This is great
this
for
giant
no reason.
Caravan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and he's got music playing. It's like, woohoo! It's like, and you're just driving.
Yeah.
But he's driving so erratically. And Nikki is flying all over the place because she didn't sit down before he took off.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's going back and then he's going, oh, you had, sounds like you're having a great time back there. It's like, these are clearly. Like, not...
Yeah, he's clearly, like, yelps for help.
Yeah.
Yeah. As she's trying to find her feet, it turns out Jason is hiding in the toilet.
Yeah, he's been having a shit.
I have to take care of some business.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you flush this thing? But never mind, that doesn't matter, because Jason jumps out and he drags Nikki in there with him.
Yeah.
You gotta see the size of this log I just dropped. It's like King Kong's thumb.
The mistake they make, I mean, she clearly goes in to help him flush away like his business, but it's just not big enough for the two of them in there. And because Court's driving so erratically, like, it's just causing so many issues.
Jason wrestles with Nikki before planting her face so hard in the wall that you can see her imprint on the outside of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Jason then goes and kills Court by sort of stabbing
him. Still having the best time.
Yeah.
Like, and he thinks that whatever her name is... also having, like, the best time as well. Yeah. No, these are clearly distress noises.
Yes.
Like, and at one point he turns the music up, like, because that's what you do.
It's quite a cool song though. Is it Teenage Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a couple of good bangers in this film. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's now killed Court by stabbing him, and for a brief moment Jason is mobile.
Yeah.
Got a Unabomber shack on wheels. Pretty cool, huh? Briefly, anyway, we say, because the RV crashes and upturns and crashes and before catching fire. And then Jason gets out and just stands on top of the thing as it's on fire. It does look pretty cool.
It is a cool shot.
Yeah.
It is a cool shot.
Somebody got a picture of me.
Yeah, he does pose.
Yeah.
He does this huge power pose. Yeah, look, fuck.
Back over at the police station, and Deputy Dad is giving Megan shit. I can't even remember what about, just because... He's a dad.
They're having the I'm the parent talk that every horror movie parent has.
Yes, yes. Deputy Dad goes to kick Megan out of the station, but he gets a phone call from Deputy Rick, who's found the bodies of the counsellors, Elizabeth and Darren.
Finally.
And Deputy Dad deduces that Tommy wants people to believe that Jason is real so bad that he started killing people.
Yeah.
Detective!
Detective!
Aha! I have detected the truth. Sounds legit.
Because, like, now he's aware that Tommy knows where the station is and everything else, so, like, and he runs off to these dead bodies, just leaves Megan on her own, like, in the station.
Yeah, he goes off, leaves her all by herself. Yeah. You're in charge now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. This is one of my favourite scenes in the whole movie, because this is where Tommy goes to buy some books to help kill Jason. He's like, how to stop her undead killers.
Yes, meanwhile, just outside of town, Tommy is in his truck doing some light reading on the occult.
Yeah. Dummy's Guide to Stopping Mass Murderers.
Ridiculous.
By J.R. Hartley.
How to be a successful Serial Killer Stopping Guy by Jay Voorhees.
What's this one? So you're being played by a different actor this time.
How to Have a Career After a Friday the 13th Movie.
It's a very thin book.
Anyway, back at the station, Megan is alone farting about when the phone rings. It's Tommy. Tommy gives his usual spiel about Jason being real and he's got a plan, but he needs some supplies. Megan decides that she's going to go pick Tommy up because he's not safe from her dad.
Yeah.
Never mind the killer. You're not safe from the police. I know there's a serial killer around, but also there's also American police. You are not safe.
I mean, also, she has no reason to believe that her dad's wrong at this point.
Her dad's wrong?
About Tommy. Yeah. She could not know.
No. And also, she doesn't know this guy at all.
No, not at all. She's met, the first time she met him, he was in jail.
Yeah, and he's clearly, not right in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, meanwhile, has found his way to Camp Forest Green again.
Yeah, he's not happy with the rebrand at all.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. All of my blood, sweat and tears.
And the paramedics over in the other part of the woods are scooping up the bodies of Elizabeth and Darren, while Deputy Dad is convinced more than ever that Tommy is responsible. Deputy Dad and Rick then find what's left of the paintball team. It's, these two cops have really got their work cut out for them, because there's only two so far.
Yeah.
There more come along, but in total, there's only four.
Yeah.
In this whole area. This and also, Deputy Dad hasn't taken a day off in 3 days.
No, not at all. He's got to be stinking by now. He's wearing the same uniform. Yeah.
It's also mentioned that it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. We finally get... Because I don't think it's said in any other movie.
No, apart from, maybe the first one.
Is it? I don't even know if it's referenced in the first one, but,
Rick's like, heck of a day for it being, looks at camera, Friday the 13th. Yeah. Get it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Back over at the camp, Jason cuts some kind of wires outside. I guess the phone lines.
It's the phone lines.
Yeah. Sissy is in one of the cabins and she spots something past the window. And so she goes to investigate while Elizabeth's sister Paula is asleep. And Sissy does the whole, all right, who's out there?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Paula wakes up and reckons it's caught. So Sissy decides that she's going to get caught. We're going to get him.
Yeah.
So she decides to get him by emptying a can of soda out the window and I guess just hoping that court happens to be right outside on the underneath of the windowsill.
I mean, not even a full can. It's like the dribbles in the bottom.
It's like nothing. Yeah. Court is not under the windowsill, but unlucky for Sissy, Jason is.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm all sticky. What's this?
Yeah, Jason pops up, just wiping his face. Like, what the? And then,
what did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
Yet?
This is new.
Got a brand new mask.
Yeah, this is.
Says Roy on the inside, but it fits well. And now it's covered in grape juice. Jason grabs Sissy and yanks her out the window, and then he snaps her neck and turns her head a full 180 degrees.
Pulls it off.
Yeah. Does he pull it off? Can't remember.
Yeah, it kind of flicks back to Paula, who wakes up and goes, she's like, crazy kids.
Yeah. Paula hears all this.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she thinks it's just Sissy in court playing around.
You guys.
Yeah, she goes back to sleep.
Yeah, goes back to sleep. And then it goes back to Jason. He's just holding her head and he just drops it.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, across town, or the woods, or whatever, Megan arrives to pick up Tommy and go get supplies. Back at the camp, all the little kiddies are having a sleep, and then one of them wakes to see Jason, the one, the one, same one from earlier that just can't sleep,
it's
apparently.
Always that one.
It's all too much coffee from earlier.
Yeah.
Megan and Tommy, meanwhile, have come across a roadblock. And it turns out that there are two other cops that also work around here.
Yeah.
And the two other cops give chase. And they call it in to Deputy Dad. Of course, when it comes through, he realizes it's his daughter's car. And he just assumes that Tommy is with her. He's right.
Yeah.
But he just... Because they're in Megan's car now. Yeah,
they say something where we saw somebody duck down.
Yeah.
She's got him, we get all the crotch shots.
Yeah. So I go, it must be that Tommy boy.
Yeah.
It must be. Yes.
Megan!
He throws his hat down and jumps on it. Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's now this chase happening. And it's mentioned in passing that at some point they picked up the supplies.
Yeah.
Because, that was not the scene we needed to see.
She looked into a bag or something.
Yeah. But... just when Megan thinks she's lost them, she runs into another roadblock. deputy dad with a shotgun pointed at her.
Yeah.
This is his daughter. It's like, Jesus Christ, deputy dad. What the fuck? Back over at the camp, someone with a bloody machete in hand is approaching Elizabeth's sister Paula, who's sleeping, yeah, and she wakes.
A machete walks into Paula's cabin.
She wakes up, but it's not Jason. It's the little girl that woke up earlier and saw him.
Yeah.
It's her. She's the real killer.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, apparently, like a real machete as well, covered in blood. And yeah. Paula's just like, oh, you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's Sissy and Court dicking around.
Yeah. Allegedly, she just found the machete outside as well. Yeah. I'm like, Yeah, it's just those guys messing around with sharp
a
objects.
Real machete.
Around children, which are covered in blood, but never mind. So these two, the little girl and Paula, they head off to try and find Sissy and Court, leaving the bloody machete. The bloody machete. Just on the floor. Mm. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back over at the station, Deputy Dad is losing his shit because he still thinks Tommy is the killer. And then he gets a phone call to inform him that Court and Nikki are dead. The ones that died in the RV. Deputy Dad, he grounds Megan, but not before telling her exactly how her friends died.
Yeah.
So you're grounded. Oh, by the way, your friend Court, yeah, he got stabbed in the fucking neck loads of times. There's blood everywhere. It's totally fucked. And then the thing caught fire and his body's all burnt up and fucked, man. Yeah. All the while, still blaming Tommy.
Yeah.
Megan then asks, what time this happened? And Deputy Dad replies, between 8:30 and 9. There's no way he'd know that. But no. Okay, whatever. And then Megan says, well, I was with Tommy that whole time. She wasn't.
I don't think that's true.
She was not.
Yeah.
No,
not even slightly. I mean, yeah, the whole thing with the Court and Nikki happened way before she picked him up.
Yeah. Unless she's just lying to cover.
Yeah.
But why would, like you said, so he's her dad suspects that he's the killer.
Mm.
And it's like, well, these are dead. He's like, well, what time did that happen? And then, you know, in her head, she's like, I wasn't with him then. But I'm going to lie anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's cute.
Yeah. You know. I think he's all right.
Yeah, just got a hunch. Back over at camp, Elizabeth's sister puts the little girl back to bed and advises her to say a prayer if she's scared. Like, that'll fucking help.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Jason is watching all of this through the window and again, no one spots him. He's not even trying to hide.
Yeah, I know.
He's just stood like, in the window.
She's walking along and he's like literally next to her.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
But tapping on the window. Like, it is cold out here.
Anybody want to die?
Yeah. Why don't you come out here?
Yeah. Jason then stalks Elizabeth's sister, Paula, for a bit. And by stalk, I mean walk alongside her.
Yeah.
Again, she doesn't.
Doesn't notice.
She then gets scared and runs back inside the cabin and walks around for a bit before getting really scared of a door.
Yeah, the door just opens and then shuts again.
Yeah, and then it opens again, but this time Jason walks through and he kills her.
Jason, and again, this is the surprise, motherfucker! Just like... And then he chucks her through a window.
Yeah, because you got to throw them bodies through windows.
Yeah.
This is M.O. Back over at the police station, Rick is sat at the desk. Tommy is in the cell and Megan is just there. Tommy and Megan pretend to argue. And then they start kissing through the bars of the cell. Badly, I'd like to add.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's like these two people have never kissed.
Yeah.
It's really odd.
It's like they don't know how, like, and they're just kind of looking at each other really quizzically as well. It's like, is this how they do it?
Yeah. We're
It's such a dumb plan as well. There's like no way that would have worked in a billion years.
Rick. Well, it does work.
Yeah, because Rick's an idiot.
Rick is not impressed by this, and he goes to break them up. And this is when Megan grabs his gun with the massive laser on top of
it.
She points it straight at him. And Rick says, don't clown around. And she says, I'm not the one with the funny red nose. Get it? Because the laser.
Yeah, because of the light.
Ooh, funny. And then Rick calls her Maggie.
Yeah.
That's enough to earn a bullet in the head.
Yeah.
Come on, Maggie. Maggie.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, also, this is, like, I'm not being funny, but Megan, she's not going to shoot him.
No.
I would have just been like, give me that.
Yeah, you're not actually going to kill.
Not at all.
Like, yeah, not only someone that's known you a long time,
yeah.
And a friend and colleague of your father's, but a serving police officer.
Yeah.
You're just going to murder them. Yeah.
It's,
no,
it's
I don't think
happen.
So, Megan. Give me the fucking gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, she forces Rick to open the cell and Tommy is free. And him and Megan leave in Megan's car. Do they lock Rick up? I can't remember. I think they lock him in the cell.
Him in the cell.
Yeah, which is probably the safest place
to be. But they don't say it. He just assumes and gets in. I'm pretty sure she never once goes get in the cell. He's just like, anyway, you crazy kid, just locks himself in. Yeah. And says, oh, you'll be sorry.
Because he knows it's gives the safest him the place. Key. Yeah. He knows it's dangerous outside. It's like, oh, if only there was something I could do. Yeah. He's shutting the doors. Locks it. Swallows the key.
Yeah. God, I hope you guys are all right with Jason out there. Lies on the bed.
So yeah, they leave in Megan's car. On the drive, Tommy mentions that the only way to kill Jason is to return him to his original resting place, the lake.
Yeah, which he found in a book.
Yeah.
It's really specific.
How has he come up with this conclusion?
Yeah, it's quite specific.
And as it just says in the big book of the occult, in order to kill an unstoppable killing machine, you have to return it to its final resting place, even though it's never really rested, because Jason's never really been dead.
Yeah, but surely his final resting place was that grave they dug him out of.
Yeah.
Like the lake was the one before.
Yeah, which he was not never really dead in.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have just not dug him up.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Back over at the camp, Jason enters the kiddies' rooms, but not like that, where they're all fast asleep, apart from that one little brat that ratted on him earlier. He's like, ah, you, still awake, huh?
And Jason's like visibly worried about her not sleeping, so he kind of leans in to like whisper to her and like make sure she's all right, possibly read her a story.
Go to sleep, you bitch. Yeah. At this time, Deputy Dad pulls up to the camp. And anyway, yeah, Jason is leaning in on the kid, and the kid starts praying. And then Jason hears something, we're assuming Deputy Dad arriving, so he walks off, and the kid opens her eyes, and I guess is now convinced that praying actually works.
Yeah, that annoyed me as well.
As far as Jason would just pop his head back in, like, don't read it too much into that. I'm still here, I'm just going to go check on this.
Oh, God's not real!
Outside, Deputy Dad goes looking for the other counsellors, only to find lots and lots of blood. Mm. He goes in that cabin. There's no real bodies, it's just blood
just
everywhere.
Blood everywhere, like he's liquefied her.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the room of blood, gross.
But yeah, again, like there's so much blood in that room that Jason must have, like, once he'd killed her, just walked around the room, like, with the body, like... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Redecorating, yeah. Meanwhile, one of Deputy Dad's troopers heads towards the lake to look around, and he spots a Jason who throws a knife straight into his head.
it's like a proper throwing dart as well.
Yeah, what is it? It's not quite.
I don't know where he's got it from, but he's quite well equipped in this because like
he's got a tool bag.
Yeah, when he kills Kor, he's got that like that jagged like army knife that he's just got from somewhere. Like he's got all the unless he got them from is it Bert?
Like, he's got like he's got this sort of tool belt on him.
Yeah,
but yeah, maybe he got it from Bert. Like, but we know Jason is very much a handyman anyway.
Yeah.
So like that shack that he built.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the shack with the running, like the full plumbing.
Yeah, it's got a toilet in it.
Electric.
Yeah. Deputy Dad checks on the boys and then he runs off to the girls' cabin and he checks on them. But obviously, the little brat that was awake earlier, she's now missing.
Yeah.
Okay. While this is going on, Deputy Dad's other trooper that he brought along, he's outside looking in the bushes when the little religious girl, she's now religious, appears, crying, saying there's a scary man about, and then Jason appears. The cop starts shooting Jason, but he's obviously never seen a Friday the 13th movie either, and then Jason crushes his head.
Yeah. Just before this, when the sheriff's in with the kids and stuff, and he tells them to hide under their beds.
And that's just afterwards.
Is it?
Yeah.
How do I always do this?
I don't know. The little girl runs off and runs into Deputy Dad. And then at this point, all of the boys have woken up and they're standing outside their cabin. So Deputy Dad rounds up all the kids and he puts them all in one cabin. So they're all nice and easy to find. And he instructs them all to hide under their beds.
Right. And have you seen the way these kids head for the hiding places? It's like somebody's launched them. Yeah. They're like flying across. Like it's like a shot of one and then there's the two do it at the same time. Like literally like somebody's gone, right, quick, hide under the bed.
Yeah. I was like, the idea was like, put them all in one place.
Yeah. So, easier for Jason that way.
Oh,
yeah.
Jackpot.
it's like Christmas.
So once he's not safely tucked in the kids, Deputy Dad heads out with his shotgun, only to stumble upon, and I mean literally stumble upon, the corpse of the cop who got his head squished.
Yeah.
And then Jason appears, and Deputy Dad and Jason just kind of stare at each other for a while before Deputy Dad blows him away with his shotgun. He's also never seen a Friday the 13th movie. Jason, obviously not dead, jumps back up, and Deputy Dad shoots him again. And then Jason gets back up again, and Deputy Dad shoots him again. And this kind of goes on for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could play, like, that sort
of... Yeah, it's just him shooting at Jason and Jason not dying before Deputy Dad gives up and, of course, runs away! Yeah. The fuck this!
It's like,
Well, I'm out of bullets and I'm off. At this point, Tommy and Megan arrive at the camp and Tommy's got his bag of supplies and Megan runs off to check on the other counsellors. Don't look in there! The room of blood.
Yeah.
Megan then heads to the cabin with all the kids, who are doing a terrible job at hiding, by the way. They're just they're half under the bed,
yeah.
A few on top of the beds. Like, what's going on?
A couple of them are really flippant about their chances of surviving this.
Yes,
well.
Yeah, they're proper, like, they have like a sort of like sit down between two of them. Yeah. It's like two guys in a foxhole or something. Yeah. It's like, well, what do you reckon our chances are, Billy? Like,
we are dead meat.
Dead meat. It's been a good ride. They have a little drink from a hip flask.
Like, one of them lights a cigarette, lights it.
He lights it for him. Yeah. They just stare at the stars and they go out and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid it.
I know it's jumping ahead, but the next bit they do, like, fucking killed me. Where he looks at him and he goes, so, what was you gonna be when you grew up? It's fantastic.
Tommy then runs in and he says, is everyone okay? And Megan says, yeah, fine. Apart from all my dead friends.
Yeah, apart from everyone I know is now dead.
Tommy runs off to the lake and he discovers the other dead cop. And then Megan tells the kids to get back under their beds while she looks for her dad. And by looks for her dad, I mean she stands outside and goes, Dad! Yeah. Dad! For fucking ages.
Knowing full well that someone is out there hacking people to pieces.
Tommy instructs her to go and use her dad's radio to call for an ambulance.
Yeah.
Yeah, send more victims.
Yeah.
Megan goes to her dad's car only to find Sissy's head on the driver's seat. Megan starts freaking out and has completely forgotten about the whole idea about using the radio and starts screaming for her daddy again.
And this is, like, obviously the playful side of Jason that we see quite a lot. Like, he's obviously gone to the car and gone, this will be really funny. Yeah. Just left it there for
someone to
find. I
wish I could be here to see when she finds this. Next time I'm going to set up a camera, like one of those prank shows.
I'm going to start my own TikTok channel.
Yeah.
Jason's Pranks.
So, this time, yeah, so she's screaming for her dad again. And this time he actually hears it, though. And as does Jason, though, who stands up and he starts heading towards Megan. And Deputy Dad, he decides he's had all he can stand and he can't stand no more. So he jumps Jason and starts beating the crap out of him.
Mm.
It actually does the most physically overpowering moment.
Yeah.
Like, throughout this whole franchise, no one's really been able to, like, go toe-to-toe with Jason.
No.
So far. And Deputy Dad puts a fucking whooping on him.
Yep.
Yeah. Until, of course, Jason overpowers him and folds him in half.
Yeah. Which makes you think that Jason the whole time was, like, just giggling and stuff.
Come on, stop tickling me.
Is that the best you got?
Yeah. And so he kills him. He says, Deputy Dad, you was a good man and a worthy adversary. So I'm glad I killed you, because you could have been a real pain in the ass.
Like his Thanos moment.
Yeah. Megan is now back at the lake with Tommy, farting about with his supplies. His grand idea seems to be to chain Jason to a rock, a big old rock, and then chuck it in the lake, drowning him. Spoilers, that's exactly what happens, but not for another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Also, was the giant rock one of the supplies?
That's what I was thinking as well, because you do see him rolling it along, but it doesn't say that he didn't get it out of the sack.
Yeah, or if he just found it. Hopefully, at the lake, there'll be a really big rock.
Yeah.
But also, one that's heavy enough to drown a person, but light enough that I can carry it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and move it around.
But luckily, just around the corner, there's a chains and rock store.
Yeah. And also, he's got it on this rowboat with him.
Yeah.
Which somehow doesn't sink the boat. No. It's huge.
Just sat there in the middle of the boat.
Yeah. Well, like, I guess in the middle would be the safest place. It doesn't upend the boat.
It doesn't upend but it, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange. So Jason has now found his way to the cabin full of kids. He sort of smashes in through the wall, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Megan hears the kids screaming and she runs over. And then Jason smashes back out outside through a different wall. And he grabs Megan and he's about to crush her head when he hears Tommy shouting at him. What's this asshole again?
Tommy also gives Megan like about three different instructions all in one go. And he's like, go for the kids. So she starts running towards the kids and like the hear the kids screaming. And he's like, no, don't go that way. It's like, Megan's like, ah.
Well then, so he, once Jason now hears Tommy, he goes after Tommy. All the kids are fine, by the way.
Yeah, they're...
And Tommy is now in a rowboat on the lake with the giant rock with the chain around it.
Yeah.
And he goads Jason into the lake. And Jason just sort of walks out into the lake. But he's kind of torn between killing Megan and killing Tommy.
See,
he's like,
well,
It's
amazing that he takes the decision to go for Tommy as well. Because, like, if that was me, if
Megan's
I was Jason,
the easier kill.
Yeah, I would have been like,
plus, there's all those kids there to kill.
There's a room for the kids there, yeah. And Megan's, she hasn't even run away. Yeah. She's still just stood there.
There's like 30 people to kill.
Yeah, in the dry.
But I do really hate this guy.
But, you know, and it's also, he's just in the wall, and he's not even going to be able to come and stop me do these first, because then he's got a row backwards.
Yeah, with the rock.
And there's not a sign of a oar, yeah. Right there either. Like, and with that big rock in it, it's going to take him fucking forever to get. Yeah, I would have totally murdered all of those people.
Jason finally decides to head towards Tommy, and he disappears under the water, because he can swim now. Even though that's how he died originally, was he drowned?
Yeah, exactly. Good. That makes no sense.
Like, learn to swim.
Yeah.
In the afterlife. I don't know. What the fuck? Is he?
Look, surely though, like, oh, we've got to return him from like the place where he drowned. Oh, he's we got in himself.
Oh, he can swim? And, we need to rethink this. Oh, but I've got the rock here now with me.
And Tommy's just there with the fucking chain. Just like looking around. Like, so the plan is basically like Jason's gonna pop his head up and he's gonna go yoink.
Yeah, sort of lasso him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy also decides to set the water on fire.
Yeah.
Using fuel, by the way. This film isn't that dumb. And this causes Jason to surface somehow.
Yeah,
it's only the surface of the water that's on fire. It's not the whole lake.
Also, he does the old wrong side of the boat trick.
Yeah,
again. Tommy's like, he's definitely going to come up this side. Jason's like, surprise! And then they have this kind of, like, wrestle.
Yeah, him and Tommy, like, fight and wrestle on the boat a bit.
Again, it makes no sense, because Jason's got, like, no purchase on anything, like,
allegedly. Yeah, he's still, like, in the water.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Jason's got... They shouldn't really be...
So, yeah, they fight a bit. Then Tommy shoves Jason off of the boat. Only Jason resurfaces, but this time on fire.
Yeah.
Tommy finally gets this fucking chain around Jason's neck, and the boat sinks after Jason basically smashes it in half.
Yeah.
How, I don't know. Like, again, he's got no leverage, no purchase, but he just...
Yeah, body slams it somehow.
Yeah. And so, he smashes it in half along with this big fucking rock it's tied to, and Jason is now stuck and set to drown. So the rock sinks to the bottom of the lake. Jason's chained to it through his neck, but he's got hold of Tommy.
Yeah.
And he strangles Tommy. He doesn't need to, they're underwater, but he strangles Tommy. He can't breathe anyway. All you got to do is hold on to him.
No, you can't breathe twice.
Yeah. He strangles Tommy underwater, killing him. And then he releases his body and it floats to the surface, which means that he's still got air in his lungs, so he's not dead. Megan swims out to get Tommy, but is grabbed by Jason, who's, you know, now she's in trouble.
Yeah.
Until she isn't. So he's got hold of her ankle. She's on the surface. He's got hold of her ankle.
Yeah.
He's kind of like halfway.
So this kind of means that Jason's not that far down. And
it's not
where
that
the
deep,
boat
really.
Is not that far out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
No, so it's like, what's Megan? Let's say 5'5".
Yeah.
So he's his arm's length to 5'5". Yeah. He's about, his head is about 6 feet, and then he's 6 feet. The very bottom's like 12 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jason's supposed to be, what, 6.5 foot or something? Like, he's supposed to be like a big...
Yeah, bloke. Big bloke, yeah.
Yeah, so he just, and he's like effortless, like, yoink.
Yep, got your leg. She starts the boat engine, you know, the one that was broken in half but is still afloat somehow. She starts it up, and then she just sort of turns the propeller, which is also at that depth.
Yeah.
So the prop at the back of the boat, which is like in the water.
Yeah, it's now like well underwater.
What is it? A foot? Half a foot?
Yeah, so
the propeller is.
Jason's head is this far underwater.
Like 5 feet. Let's say 5 foot underwater.
Yeah.
But the prop from the propeller of the boat that's on the surface is... It's so far down that it cuts up Jason's neck, and it doesn't. It looks like it's cutting his head off, but it doesn't. It just fucks him up a bit.
Yeah, it just doesn't really do anything to him.
Yeah, it just cuts him a bit.
Until you see him afterwards, and he's fine.
Yeah, and Megan grabs Tommy and takes him back to shore, and all the kids gather round to look at Tommy's corpse, but of course he's not dead.
No,
that's that. And then
in the background, you just see Jason's arm out the water, like, yeah. Hello.
And we then fade to Crystal Lake. I'm assuming, the next day, and we get a shot of Jason still stuck under the water, supposedly dead, but then we get a close-up of his eye, and it's moving, and he's not dead. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tommy's plan did not work, which we kind of knew it wouldn't.
No, of course
yeah,
it did.
Yeah, no.
It's a stupid plan in the first place.
Yes, it is.
It makes no sense. There's also like a bit while when they're fighting where Tommy throws a punch that is about 100 miles over the top of Jason's head, which still somehow manages to knock him back into the water. It's like up here. So yeah, physics is not important in this film.
No, I mean, no, it's a Friday the 13th film. So what did you think?
I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate that one. I actually thought this was one of the best.
Yeah. It was quite good fun. It's stupid. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it seems to know that it is as yeah. well, like almost.
And it's... all the beginning stuff in the graveyard is actually quite cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid again, but yeah.
I mean, this is the first time we get Jason as we all kind of
imagine
Jason.
Yeah. It's not like some, who could it be?
Yeah.
We know, we see it's Jason yeah. all the way through killing. And
this is the undead version of Jason.
Yeah. Which yeah. I guess they had to do after that whole Roy debacle.
Yeah.
Like, we should really go heavy in on the Jason, because it turns out people miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite good fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It was fun. Best one so far, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, this is quite a few people's favourite one in really? The franchise.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I still think mine might be... I'd say this might be on level pegging now with Jason Takes Manhattan. Just because
Jason Takes Manhattan, which is 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we've already done.
Yeah, which we've done. We skipped a few and did that one straight away. Yeah, that yeah. is quite good fun as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, no, I was all right watching this. It's not at any point was I not entertained.
Yeah, yeah, same. Yeah, well done. We finally got a good one.
Yeah.
Wow. Only took 6 fucking films.
Yeah, I know.
But I finally found a Friday the 13th film. I was like, actually, no, this is quite good. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah, the acting's terrible.
Yeah.
Script is fucking pedestrian at best. But it's like... But yeah, the kills are great. Like, I really enjoy the whole fucking like paintball bits, even though it's dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy that all of that stuff. There's like... The attempts at humour... are nowhere near as funny as the stuff that isn't supposed to be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But the stuff like the kids, like the flippant attitude to death kids yeah. is great. Like, yeah, it's all... yeah, it's good. Yeah. I had fun.
Yeah, same. Yeah, nice. Do you have any trivia for this one?
I did grab a few bits, yes. So, John Shepherd, who played Tommy in the last movie, he was offered the chance to reprise his role as Tommy in this movie.
Right.
He chose not to do it because he'd become a born-again Christian and opted to pursue being a pastor instead.
He looks like a born-again Christian. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah, his loss.
This was supposed to have an appearance from Jason's father. Jason's dad, Elias Voorhees.
Elias Voorhees.
which was meant to appear in a planned ending where, like, apparently originally Jason was supposed to get buried again. And you would see Elias Voorhees would come up to the graves of Jason and Pamela, and yeah, it never appeared in the film. It was never shot, but it does appear in the film's novelization. There is a novelization of this film.
I've heard of Elias Voorhees. Yeah, yeah. He's,
I don't know. Does he appear in any of the movies?
I don't believe so, but he was in a graphic novel, some comic books as well.
Yeah.
I think there might have been some sort of, maybe like a prequel thing done where Elias was around.
It's like, listen to me, Jason. Here's some advice when you grow up. Fuck a lot of women. Don't get bogged down like me and stuck with some whore like your mother, Pamela.
Oh, is he in Leatherface, the prequel film? Oh no, why would he be? That's Leatherface.
Yeah, that's something different.
Fucking hell! Right, never mind. Cut that.
How embarrassing.
Well, something just popped into my head, and I was like, say it.
Yeah. Didn't Jason go to Hogwarts?
Right, so, McLaughlin was actually offered the chance to direct Scream in the mid-90s.
Oh, right.
He directed this, which obviously Wes Craven went on to do. During that process, like, he actually declined. He wasn't, like, decided. He chose not to do it.
Oh.
During that process, he met Kevin Williamson, who admitted that the fantastically self-aware Part 6 was a massive influence for him writing Scream.
Ah, nice. Cool. Did you get any comments on this? Probably not, since you already posted the thing half an hour ago. It's always like, it's half an hour before we record, and you're asking
totally
me what
forgot.
I think.
No.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Smith, fucked up. But yeah. If you do have any thoughts and comments, then you can put them in the comments on this instead. And, yeah, read them out to yourself. No shout-outs this week. So that is that. That was Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason lives. I'm alive. And I guess Part 7 is next, which what's that even called?
It's New Blood.
New Blood?
Yes.
It's not another Roy, is it?
No, it's Jason again, but it also has the ridiculous premise of a girl with psychic powers revives him this time.
All right. Can't wait. I forgot to show off my fucking Jason Lives hoodie.
Oh, nice.
It's actually mine, but yeah. Okay, yeah, can't wait for that one then. Let's see how silly it gets.
Yeah.
So we've kind of peaked now.
Yeah.
Have we peaked? Well, maybe. Let's see. We've
got New Blood next. We've done Takes Manhattan. And yeah. Then it's Jason goes to hell.
And then Jason X.
And then Jason X, which we've done.
Yeah. Although we could do Jason X again because it was a while ago we did that.
Was it just an audio one?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll do Jason X again.
Yeah. All right. That's it. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze.